That would be a really funny thing to know, like the exact details of. Like,
I can't believe I even asked that with like you, like expecting you to answer like that question. Are you sure it's a contract year for Kyle Rudolph? I should go fuck myself.
You're listening to Let's Talk Fantasy Football, where men of fantasy genius have realized. Hey guys, we don't need real football skills to dominate on the fantasy field. So slap on your pads and grab your helmet. Shit's about to get real.
Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of Let's Talk Fantasy Football. I am your host tonight. My name is Nick Walsh, and I am here with one of my good friends with his wonderful dog in the background. I am here with Vinny Gonzalez. Vinny, what's going on, dude?
How much, dude? What's up?
Not a ton. You know, we're cruising right into part two, and we're going to see how that all works out. But yeah, well, it's... the NFC North tonight, part two of that. And so we do have the Vikings and the Packers. Should be a fun one. If you did miss out on part one, we gave our hot takes, and they were spicy. They were caliente on the Lions and the Bears. And so now you've got the two actual good teams in the division, the two teams that made the playoffs. So this is where you're going to make your real meat and potatoes in terms of like fantasy production, I would think. But maybe not. I don't know. This division is really weird. Am I like, I know we say that about a lot of divisions because just football is like a bizarre and hard to predict thing. But like, this division is weird, right?
No, it really is, because I was going to say, like, the Packers just last year just didn't really make sense why they were. The record does not match their performance or how they looked at all. They basically conned their way to the NFC Championship game the entire season.
Yes.
I mean, we're not even talking about them yet, and I couldn't even contain myself. I'm surprised I didn't say it last podcast. They were just fucking I didn't like them last year. I usually don't have a problem with the Packers, but just the way they were winning games, how many they were winning, just it did not add up, and that shit sucked.
Well, so point differential is normally an indicator of how good a team actually is. And like based on the Packers' point differential, they should have been like a 9-17, but instead they were exactly 13-3 and, you know, a game away from the Super Bowl. So, you know, based on that, there's a lot of and the Packers, if anything, just made things even more confusing this offseason. So,
very much so.
We'll get into it all in time. But first, let's jump right into the Minnesota Vikings. So the biggest change at that top down level is basically Kevin Stefanski, their offensive coordinator, is now the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. We like that for Cleveland, but it means that Gary Kubiak is now the offensive coordinator. So I don't know about you. I don't expect their offensive philosophy to change a ton because Kubiak was previously an offensive consultant, whatever that means for them. And just knowing Kubiak as a coach and an offensive coordinator previously, it seemed like what Stefanski was running was very similar to what Kubiak ran previously in his career. So I don't see a major change in offensive philosophy. Do you?
Most likely not. I feel like they know what they have, and they're going to probably utilize the same sort of method that they had last year.
Yeah, I think that's about correct. I think we can assume what they did last year is what they're going to try to do this year. And then on the defensive side, George Edwards, their defensive coordinator, left, and they replaced him. They have co-defensive coordinators, Adam Zimmer, who is head coach Mike Zimmer's son. Nepotism, probably, but also maybe he deserves it. I don't know. And then Andre Patterson. Again, I expect the defensive scheme to stay relatively the same because Mike Zimmer, the head coach, is a defensive-minded coach. You know, he's the one in charge of it all. So I think overall there are changes, but I don't think there actually are changes, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's fine. Basically everything is the same.
Yeah. So let's jump right on in with the quarterback position where we have Kirk Cousins again. You know, behind him we have Sean Mannion and Nate Stanley, but for, you know, the regular purposes of everything, we have Kirk Cousins. Now Kirk finished quarterback 18 last year, 16.7 points per game. That picked up towards the end of the year because in the beginning, they were basically just trying to run the ball like a million times a game. I think when they kind of let Kirk loose a little bit, and really when they let Kirk loose with the play action passes, that was when the offense sort of opened up. So I expect, you know, he's currently going at quarterback 25, a fifth pick in the 14th round. Like, to me, that's fine value for Kirk Cousins. And he's a guy where if I don't get the Staffords and the Bakers, you know, that I'm looking for, like, I don't think Kirk Cousins is the worst consolation prize in fantasy football this year.
So I was just looking, they open up at the Packers. So that's interesting. I was just trying to see, like, if you know, just looking for, like, the stream situation and you want to throw him on there.
What's, like, the next couple of weeks there?
Let me see. All right, so they're home versus the Packers. Pretty cool. Then they get the Colts, Vikings, Texans.
They are the Vikings.
I thought I said Texans. My bad.
Colts, Texans?
Colts, Titans, Texans.
Okay.
I definitely fucked that up. My bad.
You said Colts, Vikings, Texans. Anyway.
They play themselves, dude.
That's really not that bad.
It's an interesting stretch. Yeah, it's not bad, especially if you're just looking to, like, date him instead of own him for the entire season, which is probably the best way to go about it, because I feel like we just said they're going to keep the same philosophy, and that's not necessarily keep the ball out of Kirk Cousins' hands because he's a bad quarterback. He wasn't bad by any stretch last year. He was pretty good. It's just, like, fantasy-wise, he's not slinging it around the field. And they're really not trying to do it, especially with Stephon Diggs gone. There's no possible way they're going to throw it as much this year.
I have a theory they're going to have to throw the ball a lot more this year, but we'll get into that as we go.
Spit it now.
All right. So last year's situation neutral pace, they were eighth in the league. So everyone thinks about them as this, like, run first offense. They want to slow the ball down. They want to run it constantly. When game situations were neutral, so what that means is within 7 points on either side, you're winning or losing by less than seven points. Mm-hmm. Mix that up. Eighth in terms of pace. So, like, actually a relatively fast-paced team. And if you look at their pass run splits, it was sort of the same situation where you would think they were this run-heavy team, but they were actually a run-heavy team because they were ahead in a lot of games. So I think the defense is going to be worse this year. And they lost almost the entire starting secondary. They replaced them with basically rookies, which, you know, we're in an abbreviated offseason. It might take them a while to get together. They lost Everson Griffin, potentially. I don't see how the defense is going to be as good as the seventh in DVOA defense that they were last year, particularly on the passing end. So I think it's possible that they're playing from behind a little bit more, in which case I think they're going to have to throw the ball more. I mean, it's just one of those things where, and, you know, I think he should have to throw the ball a little bit more. I think Thielen and Jefferson should have a lot of opportunities, and then in general, like, at the price you're getting him at, like, quarterback 25, you know, that sort of thing, like, this year.
Well, he's basically free.
Exactly. So, like, you can draft him, and you were talking about streamer schedule. You can draft him and just draft him as, like, one of two quarterbacks who you're going to play based on matchup. And I think that's probably ideally what you want to do with Kirk Cousins, is just draft him and play him based on matchup week to week, and draft him with someone like Phillip Rivers. And, you know, all of a sudden you've got a quarterback one by combining the two of them.
That's extremely fair. Yeah, like, you got to be tail end of the draft, missed out completely on everybody, but Kirk Cousins will most likely be there for you.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that need to go, like, the way that I was saying, in order for that to happen.
I mean, yeah, the defense has to suck, which, you know, all indications seem like at least they'll lessen, and that they might not be top 10 because they're pretty much almost fringe with that 7 ranking anyway across the board. So entirely plausible that they fall into, like, even just top 15, which we've seen with the Bears leads to a whole different looking team. So that can completely change. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they'll be a worse team, because I think Kirk Cousins is pretty good and can command an offense. And if given the chance, you know, the dude can blow up. So it doesn't seem like a bad dart throw a quarterback or a strategic move, like we're saying, banking on the fact that all these chips fall into place and he'll just totally pay off for you as a year starter taking that lottery ticket.
And even if they're a good team and he doesn't throw the ball as much, that's what they were last year, and he was quarterback 18. So, like, it seems like a value all the way around. But let's move into the pass catchers, because this is, I think, a very interesting discussion. So we've got Adam Thielen being drafted as wide receiver 9, fifth pick in the third round. That's really high for a guy who missed a lot of the year last year, for a guy who, you know, is going to be the guy that defenses key in on every single week, you know, and also for a guy who has excelled out of the slot in an offense where I think their base personnel is going to be 12 personnel. So I don't know necessarily that they're going to have a slot receiver in their base personnel. So, I don't know. We talked about Galladay and Robinson in this range last podcast. Do you think Thielen should be in this range here?
I think he should. It makes sense. I would take both those dudes over Thielen, though. It just makes sense to me, especially the way we were talking about them. And Thielen just seems to be – like how we were talking about Kirk with all the things falling into place, that'll have to happen with Thielen, which is just like sort of a domino effect, which is probably going to be for this entire team of what we're expecting them to be. So if all of it falls into place, which is an easy thing to say, of course he could be great, but I think you're taking a risk when there's other guys who are more of a lock around him. So when you look at it like that, Thielen almost becomes the unsafe option in that little squadron of them. So I'm going to not necessarily avoid Thielen because I think he's great. And you know, the target share of Diggs is gone. And I still think they'll fucking move him into the slot and use his skill set, they'd be stupid not to.
Sure.
So I really don't think he'll drop off too much. It's just the riskier play in that scenario.
Okay. I think that's definitely fair. Thielen, for me, there's a couple things that factor into it. So one, less slot usage. And in terms of the slot usage, Justin Jefferson played 99% of his snaps last year in the slot. And he's a rookie. So I feel like if you are the Vikings, you need to, like, when you have a formation where when you're in 11 formation, whatever else, you need to have Justin Jefferson as that guy in the slot in order to get him a little bit more comfortable. So I think Thielen's almost exclusively going to be outside this year. But I said before, I think Minnesota's going to have to throw the ball a bit more this year than they did last year. And also, the best stretch of Thielen's career was like that 6-game stretch a couple years ago when Diggs was hurt and he was the only target.
Mm-hmm.
This year, Thielen is the only target, because I'll say I'm low on Jefferson. I'm a little high on Irv Smith. Those are the only Vikings pass catchers that I have any opinions on. Like, if Thielen gets 160 targets this year, are you surprised?
No, not really.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those where, and again, when he was the I think Kyle had him on his team in our league, but
traded for him.
Oh, right.
Don had him. There's the famous awful trade. I'll buy him at the ceiling price. I'll take no less.
Yeah. I mean, Thielen was at his best when he was the only target on the team. I think he's good enough as a wide receiver to like beat other teams' game plans, if that makes sense.
I was going to say, we're kind of beating him up here, but it's not very fair to him because he is fucking a great wide receiver.
I'm beating him up to the point of being wide receiver 11 or 12 rather than wide receiver 9. You know, like that's where we're at, I think. Yeah,
it does sound like we're raking him over the coals, but it's really not that bad. And if you wind up with Adam Thielen as your, let's say you go 2 running backs, you get Adam Thielen in the third. That's pretty fucking sweet.
Oh, yeah, that's nails, dude. That's, like, great.
Yeah, you're living life. It's perfect. So as much as it sounds like we're beating up the situation, it's not as bad as we're making it seem. Adam Thielen's great. And the, you know, potential universe where we completely nail this and they're throwing a lot more. So there's always that.
Yeah. Let's move on to Justin Jefferson, who was their first-round pick out of LSU. He's expected to start right away, I would think, because the only people behind him are Tajay Sharpe, Olabisi Johnson, and KJ Osborne, who was a fifth round pick. So you'd think based on all of that, Justin Jefferson will be on the field for the Vikings. Wow. You switched Titans Vikings before and I just did it now.
It's hard.
I think he like incepted my brain. Anyway, he should be on the field. I'm worried because he has one good year of production in college and it's 99% in the slot and it's with Joe Burrow on this like historic team. And I know he was a huge part of that and his route running is good and his measurables are good, but I'm worried because I don't think there's going to be a huge slot presence on this team. I really do think there's going to be a lot of Kyle Rudolph and Irv Smith sets as the base. I know he's going wide receiver 47 in the 10th round, and obviously you can't fault people for taking someone there, but I just don't see it being a productive year for Justin Jefferson.
This is one of those things where like the rookie range makes sense to me where it's just like, all right, I'll take him in the 10th. Like, fuck it. Could go up to the 9th, could drop further. It just seems like the right spot because it's so much of an unknown or like a thing we're not really expecting. So I'm cool with where he's going. Am I targeting him? No. I just don't see too much value in second option. I feel like Kirk Cousins is going to, you know, obviously key in on Thielen for like a lot of the time. So I don't really see too much value in a team that, you know, we're just saying how they could throw the ball more. They're expected to run the ball a shit ton with Dalvin Cook. So expectation wise, you're not really loving a second option on the team anyway. So I will pretty much just target Thielen and then Jefferson if he's a nice surprise or you just want to take a flyer on him. Again, can't fault you.
Fair enough. I think if I were to draft him, it would have to be like 12th, 13th type round rather than 10th. So,
and that could happen. That could totally happen.
Yeah, we'll see how the rest of the offseason plays out. I think we can agree that none of the other wide receivers need to be talked about.
Can I just say how thin this team is offensively?
Very, very thin.
Kirk goes down, they're fucked. Cook goes down, they're fucked. Thielen goes down, they're fucked. Like, this is a very thin-ass team.
Yeah, I mean, the only position where they're even mildly deep in terms of skill positions is tight end, where they have Kyle Rudolph and Irv Smith Jr.
They're really trying to outdo the Bears there.
Well, the thing is that last year, I believe they led the league in 12 personnel in two tight end sets. So I think that's going to be a huge emphasis this year just based on the personnel moves that they've made. And that's why I want to talk about the tight ends a little bit. I mean, Kyle Rudolph had 6 touchdowns last year. He was usable on some weeks. He only got 48 targets. But Irv Smith Jr. was a rookie who got 47 targets. In the second half of the season, he was on the field for about 40% of the snaps. And like I said, Kyle Rudolph got 48. Irv Smith got 47. I think this might be a breakout year for Irv Smith Jr., where he takes over the Kyle Rudolph role as tight end one. And like, I know neither of these guys are getting drafted. If I'm late and I have like a flyer pick and I don't have a tight end, or maybe I took a tight end, but I want to get like an insurance plan, whatever the case is, I think Irv Smith Jr. should be drafted this year.
When you say breakout, put that into perspective. Like what would you not be surprised if Irv Smith ends up as or finishes as?
80 targets, 55 catches, 650 yards, 6 touchdowns.
Okay. That probably lands him at like what, tight end 6, 7, 8?
Like 8, maybe. Yeah. Like something like that.
Not fucking bad for a free price tag.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking is more, not that like, I think he's going to be like George Kittle this year, you know, but like
more like a Darren Waller surprise.
Exactly. Something like that. And, you know, Rudolph's getting older. Smith was,
is this a contract year for Rudolph? I think he might be on his way out.
I do not know the specifics on the contracts of Kyle Rudolph, but
check that. I'm surprised you don't. You love Kyle Rudolph. How do you not know that, dude?
That would be a really funny thing to know, like the exact details of. Like,
I can't believe I even asked that with like you, like expecting you to answer like that question. Are you sure it's a contract year for Kyle Rudolph? I should go fuck myself. I'm gonna look that up right now because it's bothering me a lot.
That's fine. But yeah, I think, you know, we talk a lot about how rookie tight ends don't do jack shit. You know, Irv Smith got 47 targets his rookie year. He got on the field a decent amount. This is a team that wants to play two tight ends. He's clearly a guy that they want to be a future contributor for the team. So I want to be ahead of that a little bit. And with a free price tag, A-okay with me.
So he is what everyone's waiting for. Kyle Rudolph will be an unrestricted free agent in 2024. They do have an out with him this year, which will be a hit. I don't know about contracts, but just dead cap hit if they want to bail on him. So interesting.
Yeah. I mean, another reason to try out Irv Smith Jr. a little bit more. So
just try it, dude.
just take one hit. Just take one hit of Irv, dude.
it's non-habit forming.
We should make that into some sort of slogan, like take a hit of Irv. Irv, but it's Irv. Do you get it? Do you
I got what it. It's almost when we have to like slur and have a lisp at the same time to make it sound similar. So it's kind of like take a hit of this Irv.
It's like if you had like a real hard like Baltimore accent and you're trying to say herb or that kind of thing. But
I'm looking for some herb.
Anyway, let's move to the running backs. So we talked about Dalvin Cook and what a stud he was last year. Good. He was running back 6 last year in only 14 games, 20.9 PPR points per game. If you owned him like I did, you love him. That being said, he's holding out. Do you buy this at all? Because I have no idea. Like,
buy his holdout? Yeah, of course I buy it.
But, like, do you buy that he's not going to, like, show up for, like, the first fucking game? Like, should we be bumping up Alexander Mattison?
I don't know about bumping up, but definitely be, like, super concerned. Like we just said, this team is super thin. Dalvin Cook knows that. They have Dick after him. So the dude's totally right. Running backs have no choice pretty much in this day and age to hold out, and I respect it and understand it.
Every year of his career, I'm like, I want my fucking money, like right now.
Basically, it's almost advantageous to the running backs that have a good year. They're just like, look what I can do. That's it. That was my contract year. So fuck what your contract says. I'm just going to hold out now. And I think that's really the payment plan like that we've been seeing, especially after Zeke set the tone, I think, proving that like I'm not playing and shit like that. So I think Dalvin Cook is smart to hold out. I think he absolutely will hold out. I believe it. And the Vikings would be stupid not to hammer this out before the season.
Yeah, they should absolutely pay him.
There's no reason not to, dude.
I remain in favor of like a wild, like socialistic running back situation where based on number of carries or touches, every single team puts into a running back fund. So the running backs have their own contract, and then every single team puts into this running back fund, and then they divide that up based on the number of carries, so running backs actually can get money in the league. But there's absolutely no way anyone would ever
they don't care about people.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, I would assume Dalvin Cook gets paid, but there's also, I mean, there was the Zeke route last year. There was also the Melvin Gordon route last year where all of a sudden Austin Eckler is a top 10 running back for the first 5 weeks of the year, you know? Yeah. So, I mean, Dalvin Cook going running back 11, 2.03, I don't think that's like unfair for him based on the current situation. But then Alexander Mattison, running back 39, ninth pick of the eighth round, I also don't think that's unfair because even when Cook was healthy, they wanted to spell him a little bit. Like, Madison's like a handcuff plus, you know? He's not just a straight handcuff.
Well, it was weird because the Vikings did it perfectly. Like, Dalvin Cook was a monster. They spelled him with Madison, almost to no detriment to his fantasy value whatsoever. And Madison got a touchdown here and there, 5 carries here and there. It was great. Dalvin Cook, freak injury anyway, didn't really have too much of an effect on, like, the postseason, which is pretty much the whole goal of every team. Despite our fantasy wishes. So it was done correctly and it still kind of failed. So I think that maybe they realized that and just pay fucking Dalvin Cook, get him on the team. Madison's not a bad pick though. I think it's not necessarily a handcuff sort of deal for me if you own Dalvin Cook, but it's one of those things where I'll be a complete bastard and possibly take him around where he's going just to have him as like a, hey, this could fucking work.
I did that last year. I took Madison and like held him as like not a Dalvin Cook owner in this one league, in a different league than our one.
Okay, I was gonna say I thought you traded for him.
I did that in our league.
Also smart.
If you remember correctly, the Madison thing didn't work out because he got hurt, and so the weeks that Mike the weeks that Cook was actually out were Mike Boone weeks. But I held in this league where I didn't even have Cook, I held Madison, and I refused to trade him to the Cook owner for the entire year. And then the week that it should have paid off for me,
it did.
I played the Cook owner in the playoffs, and Madison also didn't play. And I was just like, fuck, this whole thing. Like, I've been doing it the whole year. But anyway, that's not that important.
Of course it is.
I think that kind of sums it up for the Vikings, right? We've given it a go on that.
I believe so. Yeah, we talked about their defense, talked about everything else.
All right, we're going to move on to the Packers, but first we're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back.
Have you thought about trying sports betting but aren't sure how it'll go? Our friends at FanDuel are giving away a $50 sign-up bonus at letstalkfantasyfootball.com/FanDuel-sportsbook.
And we are back with the last team in the NFC North. We are talking about the 2019 division champs, the Green Bay Packers. Their 2019 record was 13-3. What the fuck? I wrote that down wrong. It was 13-3, right?
Yeah, you said that.
12-3 is not 16 games.
No, it's not.
Okay. All right. Great. Anyway,
you said it right on the Vikings part. So
yeah, I like knew it in my brain. I just like literally wrote it down wrong on the outline that we have. But
totally fine.
Anyway, we're looking at the Green Bay Packers. We talked before about how they should not have won 13 games last year, and they should not have been a game away from the Super Bowl. Their 2020 win total is 9 games. That's the same as the Minnesota Vikings, so there's no clear favorite for division in this division. To describe the Packers' offseason as puzzling would be to undersell it as hard as you can undersell anything in the world. You know, it seems like there's a huge division between Matt LaFleur, the head coach, and Aaron Rodgers, the best fucking player on the team. But, you know, with all that being said, I guess we can get into some of the fantasy implications here. So no changes in the coaching staff. As far as I know, Matt LaFleur still at the helm. But Vin, last year Aaron Rodgers finished as quarterback 10. This year he's going as quarterback 10. What do you think?
I have such a problem with the Packers' just skill set and how they did absolutely nothing to help Aaron Rodgers, like at all. What they did, nothing. They don't support the run game. Aaron Jones is clearly their best back. We'll get to that too. But they don't run him at all. They also drafted Dylan, so that crowds the backfield like crazy. Wide receivers, he's throwing to fucking nobodies again besides, you know, Devontae Adams, who can't do everything. Funchess, oh, God. Like, I don't understand what they're doing. I don't understand it. I have no clue. Do they not want to win again? Because – like, last year is not going to happen. They had their little window of luckiness, and it's gone. That is so far gone, and I'm taking their under every single day of the week.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong there. You know, it seems like a clear, like, ego battle between Matt LaFleur trying to be like, this is my team, as opposed to Aaron Rodgers being like, this is my team. And here's the thing. It seems like they could come to a common ground, because last year Aaron Rodgers played pretty well within the Matt LaFleur system. Like, he for the first time in his career in a long time, he didn't have to make plays out of script, like every single play, you know, like it seemed like something that was good for him, but
I disagree there. I feel like Aaron Rodgers' best plays come off of that shit.
Yeah. But I mean, he's also 36, 37 years old now.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying he should run around like a moron every single play, but I do feel like, you know, get some play action in there, get the dude, you know, rolling right, throwing deep. But it's just one of those difficult things to see someone kind of decline in. That's the thing. I don't know if it's a decline of Aaron Rodgers or a decline of just the situation around him. And I think it's more of the latter.
And that's always going to be the big question with Aaron Rodgers. Like, because I think we can safely say right now that Aaron Rodgers, if he stays with the Packers, is going to retire with one Super Bowl win. And the question is always going to be, how the fuck did you not get more than one Super Bowl win with Aaron Rodgers for a decade and a half? And I thought that it was good for Aaron Rodgers to settle into, you know, a system a little bit more like he did last year. But now it seems like Matt LaFleur trying to say, like, fuck you, this is my team, you know? Like, the fact that they're not giving him any sort of weapons, you know, they everyone expected them to draft a wide receiver round one. They draft Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers' heir apparent, who people are like, oh, well, you know, they had great success with drafting Rodgers in, you know, under Brett Favre, but it's like, right, Aaron Rodgers was potentially the number one overall pick. Jordan Love was the fourth quarterback off the board and also a guy who a lot of people think can't succeed as an NFL quarterback. He's Patrick Mahomes without the brain to what I see, you know, it's a bizarre thing. And then you're like, all right, well, they'll take wide receivers after that. Second round, they take AJ Dillon, the 250-pound running back out of Boston College, big time bruiser. No idea if he can catch passes because he never had to do it in college. Third round, all right, now it's coming. They take a tight end who they're expecting to play at fullback. Maybe he's an H-back. He's not a pass-catching threat. Like, how are you trying to maximize Aaron Rodgers' window right now? You're not, you know?
It's over. Like, they – if last year didn't happen, and let's say they wind up with, like, if they played the way the Bears did, and they were in the hunt the entire year and it just kind of didn't pan out, this would be a meltdown situation. They got lucky in the schedule. They won a bunch of close games. They got lucky. And now we are where we are. We're just kind of in limbo again for the next year. Even though on paper and watching them, you would think they were a good team. They were not a good team. And they're not going to be a good team this year.
Yeah, it's bizarre to say the least. I don't know exactly what they're trying to do, but fantasy wise, you know, we said Aaron Rodgers quarterback 10, like, sure, whatever, like,
someone's gonna jump on that. It happened last year too.
I would rather have Stafford than him, who's going, I agree, quarterback 13.
What about Baker for you?
Yeah, definitely
Baker over Rodgers.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'd probably take Rodgers there. A lot of bias in that. Carson Wentz.
I'd rather have Carson Wentz.
Agreed. Breeze.
Probably Breeze.
Agreed. Brady, last one.
Probably Brady.
Yeah. And these are all people going after Rodgers. So it's just like, it's the name value thing and the fact that he's, you know, generational quarterback, amazing. So he will probably not leave the top 10. Someone's going to take him in your league, you know, unquestioned. So I would just say play it smarter. And if he's going in this area, don't take him and just play for the later guys, everybody we just picked.
Yeah, 100%.
Besides Baker.
Fine, whatever. For perspective too, like, up until, like, even this past year, I think he was like a top three quarterback off the board, right?
I can't remember the drop off, but it was, yeah, I mean, pretty much.
Because in my head, I don't remember the quarterback specifically, but it was, you needed to take either, the debate was either MVS or Geronimo Allison was a 9th or 10th round receiver. Because Aaron Rodgers, number two, is guaranteed to be a fantasy contributor. And, like, there's just no fucking way you can say that this year.
No, especially after the fiasco of last year. It was just a fucking mess. They were throwing in dudes. Lazard got a name for himself. He was playable some weeks. It was fucking chaos. And you had no idea. Like, we did, like, the whole narrative thing. One of these guys has to take a leap. No one took a leap. No one did better. It was just a gigantic fucking mess. And luckily I was able to stay away from most of it. I think I had like one Geronimo Allison stock. That was, you know, just not good. But really, to me, if we're talking wide receivers or anybody that's going to stand out, it's for the second wide receiver, I could not tell you. But Adams is clear cut, safe, number one, going to get peppered with targets. That's about it for me. I really can't even figure out what the hell is going to happen beyond that.
Yeah, I mean, Devontae Adams last year, he was wide receiver 6 in PPR points per game, and he did miss some of the season. But I think a lot of that was early in the season. It seemed like he was just having weird, like, not producing type games. Like, Devontae Adams is a lock, I think, week to week. I don't know if I would take him wide receiver 2. I still haven't necessarily parsed through all of those 100%. Because after Michael Thomas, there are warts to everyone in that list, you know?
So, remember us arguing about Hopkins?
Yes.
Do you take Hopkins over Adams?
No.
Interesting. I mean, I was for Hopkins early on, so I'm still going to go Hopkins there. I just think, I don't know, something new. Shake it up.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think you're wrong. I don't think – I mean, like – I think after Thomas, it's like a big fucking mess, you know, through like a lot of things. So I don't know. It makes it difficult, but Adams is going off the board at wide receiver 2. I don't necessarily think that's wrong. Behind him, like you said, Alan Lazard was the guy who kind of stepped up the last 3 weeks of the season. He was on 76% of snaps. He had almost 7 targets a game, and he turned that into 128 yards total and 1 touchdown. So not exactly
stepping up.
Yeah, not terribly productive. But wide receiver 61, third pick in the 14th round, like Lazard is worth a late round flyer, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. All right. So would you rather have, I was trying to think of a compare, like, would you rather take Cole Beasley late or Alan Lazard?
I mean, Cole Beasley is more bankable, but I think Lazard has the higher ceiling.
Fair. I'm going to – like, that's just, like, the kind of depth you're already looking at, like him
and Cole. Yeah, I mean, if that's the question, like, what are we even talking about?
Exactly. You know? Like, it's just – all right. I wasn't going to say this, but the Danny Amendola versus Lazard, like
– I'd have Lazard there.
Probably for sure. Lazard for the upside. Yeah, yeah. But, like, that's how dumb figuring this out is.
Yeah, I mean, it's the first time in years and years and years where we're going to say, like, Aaron Rodgers has one pass catcher who you want to draft, and that's about it.
That's the correct take to have, I think. I mean, what else are you going to say? Mercedes Lewis? No.
They signed Devin Funches. Like, that could turn into something, but I don't think you should bank on it turning into something. If Devin Funches sees 8 targets week 1, like, absolutely pick up Devin Funches. If Devin Funches gets a ton of press going through training camp and preseason, even though it's abbreviated, like, yeah, make him the dart throw instead of Lazard. But yeah, there's no one. I mean, MVS, you're not drafting. Jake Kumerow, you're not drafting. Like, that's it's bizarre, but that's the situation.
They have a bad wide receiver core. It's Adams, and it's just as thin as the Vikings.
Yeah,
worse than the Vikings, because they at least have a rookie with promise.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. Lazard was like a 6th round pick or whatever. You know, it's
I'm not taking it. It was cool to see that guy do stuff, but like, it wasn't anything to, like, you know, call home about. It was fucking whatever.
Yeah. So at the tight end position, Jimmy Graham has moved on to the Bears, as we talked about earlier. He looked fucking washed last year. Mercedes Lewis is still there, but the guy that we need to talk about is Jay Sternberger, who was out his entire rookie year, coming back, I think torn ACL, coming back. And a lot of people are hyping him, but in what should be a run first offense, where Sternberger is known as sort of a move tight end, Mercedes Lewis is a great blocker. And again, like we said, we don't know who the second option in the passing game is going to be. Like, keep me the fuck away.
Yeah, not a chance, like, at all. It's completely no.
Yeah. All right, so I guess that goes through the pass catching options. That's so wild that happened that way. But
also, like, historically, Rodgers just a rough go with tight ends. Like, it looks like it's going to be a boom option, and it's just not.
Yeah, and you know what's funny too? I actually saw this recently, was the best PPR performances from tight ends for Aaron Rodgers over the years.
Is it JerMichael Finley?
Everyone always goes back to JerMichael Finley. You know what it was by one point?
Cook?
2015 Richard Rodgers had 157 PPR points, and that was the best Aaron Rodgers PPR tight end performance, which is not even 10 points a game.
Also, I think that must have been inflated from, correct me if I'm wrong, that's the Hail Mary against the Lions on Thursday night.
Yeah.
That's probably a huge, that's probably like 40% of his fantasy intake in that one play.
I mean, but that just goes to show you, like, everyone was like, oh, JerMichael Finley was a thing, but it's like, he wasn't even better than 2015 Richard Rodgers. Like, stop chasing Aaron Rodgers tight ends. It's never going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's move to the running backs. Oh, this is also just like Aaron Jones is going running back 13, sixth pick in the second round. You would have to point a gun to my head to make me take Aaron Jones with that pick.
You can't fucking make me do it, and I wouldn't. I would never. I would never.
He had 19 touchdowns last year, but he only had two games where he was in over 80% snaps. His targets varied from 0 to 8. There was just no consistency in any of it. And like I said, 19 touchdowns. Like, this isn't a guy who is going to see a ton of the field more than, you know, A.J. Dillon or Jamal Williams. I know Jamal Williams wasn't, like, a huge part last year, but it's enough to take away from him. Like, taking Aaron Jones in the second round is completely insane to me.
Yeah, I'm, like, I was worried. I didn't know what kind of take you were going to do, but fucking, I have never liked Aaron Jones. It has nothing to do with him as a player. I think
he's great.
Yeah, they just do not run him. And no matter how much the fantasy community is like, he's great, give him the ball. You can't base your opinions on like a mass sort of willing towards something. You have to look at the facts and what the fuck they're doing. What they're doing is not giving Aaron Jones the ball. When he gets the ball, very good. When does that happen? 4 games a season. And then you just kind of hope that those 4 games can be extrapolated throughout the season and you have like a number one running back. Never going to happen, especially the fact that they drafted A.J. Dillon. Ridiculous to think that Aaron Jones should go at this point. It's so insane.
The only argument for Aaron Jones is that A.J. Dillon is not going to play this year and is strictly a replacement because Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones' contracts are gone after this year. You have to, that's how you have to rationalize it to yourself. Is
which
that
is AJ, a crazy person.
Yeah. A.J. Dillon takes at least 20% of the snaps this year at running back. Jamal Williams last year took 25% to 40%, or sorry, to 50% every single game that he was healthy for. Sorry. Aaron Jones is not getting more than like 55% of the running back snaps this year on a team that we don't think is going to score as much as it did last year.
Not a chance.
On a team that we think like might have a worse defense. You know, like there's so many things going into this. And if you look at Aaron Jones going sixth pick in the second round, going behind Clyde Edwards-Helaire, going behind Todd Gurley, Leonard Fournette, Melvin Gordon, David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, James Conner, Chris Carson, Devin Singletary, like, those might all be players I would take ahead of Aaron Jones. And I know he was a top five running back last year, but like, there's just no way that it's repeatable.
Yeah. Not even close, dude. So out. It's just like the middle running backs where it's kind of like a grab bag. Like you really don't know what the fuck is going to happen. I'm way more down with that than anybody trying to, this is a reach. This is an absolute reach at this point.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Like, dude, we talked about it last week with the Bills situation, but like Devin Singletary at the second pick in the fourth round versus Aaron Jones at the sixth and the second, like, not even fucking close to me, you know?
Mm-mm.
It's
he's going before Nick Chubb. Oh my God. It's wild. This is crazy.
Yeah. It's not ideal. And, you know, the other two guys are also getting drafted, the other two Packers running backs. A.J. Dillon is going as running back 56, second pick in the 14th round. Jamal Williams, running back 59, fourth pick in the 14th round. This is the thing. I don't know that any of them are valuable or even predictable, you know?
So I took Jamal Williams at the end of our fantasy draft last year. Very, like, pretty much at this point, the 14th, whatever, nothing, just to hold on to him, see what happens. Worthless pick. It was, you know, it's worse than a handcuff. It's pretty much just painful to own. You're not going to use him outside of any sort of injury. There's no sort of, oh, look at this matchup. They're going to run all over this team. You don't know what the fuck they're going to do. They split carries. They've added another talented guy. It's just, there seems to be no value in this running, in this running back system.
Yeah. I mean, there's really nothing there in terms of, you know, and I also don't get just like the difference between like Aaron Jones in the second and Jamal Williams and AJ Dillon in the 14th. And that's not to say I would take those guys earlier than the 14th, but it's just like, why the fuck is this guy being taken in the second?
It's a testament way more to that than anything. It's just, yeah. Aaron Jones is like a late third, early fourth.
And we talk about it a lot as well, just like two-headed running attacks, fine. You can get productivity out of both backs. Three-headed, that's way harder. Way, way harder. And also, if you want to like really dig into it, Jamal Williams last year was more of the pass catching back than Aaron Jones was. Aaron Jones got a lot of carries. Jamal Williams got, I think, 20 less targets than Aaron Jones over the year. But still, like the ratio of carries to targets for Jamal Williams, the targets were much higher. AJ Dillon isn't going to get targets. So if anything, he's going to take work away from Aaron Jones, not Jamal Williams.
Touchdowns. Goodbye.
Yeah, like which he scored 19 of them last year. Like if you one say that was too much for anyone running back to score, okay, fine.
Makes sense.
AJ Dillon gets 8 touchdowns next year. Is anyone surprised? Aaron Jones gets 8 touchdowns next year and is now like the RB fucking like 27, you know? Like it's
and you have to play him every single week.
Yeah. It's tough, man. I don't understand where the value comes from.
Not seeing
you
it.
You know? Yeah. I don't know. Green Bay is just a very, everything about them is like bizarre and frustrating, and it's tough to deal with. I'm a little bit upset we didn't get either of the Green Bay fans and Rodgers and Don on this, to get their opinions, but I'm sure they'll give them throughout the year. Do you have anything else on Green Bay that we need to go through?
I really don't think so. I think we bash them thoroughly.
I'm like kind of mad and I need to like stop being mad. So
I'm not even mad at like anybody on the team. It's just the whole situation. It's just, it's bad.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. So I guess we'll wrap up the NFC North with that. Don't invest in Green Bay other than Devontae Adams, I think is what we,
that's it.
What the conclusion we've come to. I guess for Vinny, I am Walsh. We are Let's Talk Fantasy Football. Sorry, we will be back with the AFC West next week. So a very, very fun division where I think almost every team got better, including even maybe the Super Bowl champions who may have gotten better. These past couple have been us shitting on a lot of teams. Next week, I think, will be us glowing about a lot of teams. So anyway, back to the closing that I already started and then stopped. For Vinny, I am Walsh. We are Let's Talk Fantasy Football. Later, podcast.
This has been Let's Talk Fantasy Football. Thanks for listening.